News Now Warsaw, WRSW, 1480 AM and W259 BJ, 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana. This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. How's your hearts, Tiger fans? Mine skipped a couple beats last night, I will not lie. Warsaw winning in thrilling fashion at Northridge, 54-53. Carson Gould with a rebound basket at the buzzer to win the game and draw the Tigers even at 1-1 in the Northern Lakes Conference. And yes, we are going to play the highlight for you here in just a few minutes. The other conference games last night, Concord beat Goshen 47-22, Mishawaka beat Plymouth 59-43, and Northwood beat Wawasee 56-53. So, the way the conference shapes up at the moment, Northwood and Mishawaka are both 2-0. They're the only unbeatens at the moment. Northridge, Concord, Warsaw, and Wawasee are all 1-1. Plymouth and Goshen are 0-2. There are conference games, or non-conference games involving conference teams. Tonight, Homestead is at Wawasee, Mishawaka is at Elkhart, New Prairie's at Concord, and Plymouth is at Tippecanoe Valley. You can hear that game on 107.3. We'll talk with Matt Moore in just a little bit. He's on the phone today because he's being a dad, watching some volleyball down in the Indianapolis area, so we'll catch up with him and get his after-the-game thoughts from last night about the victory last night at Northridge. Lenny Krebs is in the studio. It was not a happy holidays for Lady Tiger basketball, and they've got a huge game coming up tonight. We'll talk with him about that next, and we'll play a highlight from 20 years ago coming up next on News Now Warsaw.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade, and with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake, and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Basketball is a game where your team could play man defense, zone defense, motion offense, press. You could focus on shooting threes or scoring in the post. Whatever strategy you use, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Aldifer Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future.
Let Aldifer Bergen be the head coach of your financial planning team. Aldifer Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street, Warsaw, and online at aldiferbergen.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Krebs.
Hello there. How are you?
I am good. I am good. It's a game day. Another opportunity to see where we're at.
And at this moment, as best you can tell, where are you? Because the loss in Huntington kind of came out of nowhere. They shot the lights out. And your kids just didn't have an answer. And then things just really went sour in the tournament down at Center Grove.
You know, our first game down at Center Grove, I thought the Brownsburg game, we competed well. We played well together. We were getting the shots we wanted. You go back and, you know, that game was, I believe it was 43-42 for a long stretch. We were getting the shots we wanted. We had some layups. We had some close-range shots. We had some steals. We created some opportunity to score. We just didn't take advantage of it. Opportunity at the very end to win the game. We gave ourselves a chance against a Brownsburg team that I think is better than people realize. You know, I'm not as concerned about the Brownsburg game as I am about how we responded to the Brownsburg game by going out and playing Jeffersonville the way we did. We just have to get better in that sense. And, you know, a disappointing 2-3 weeks, whatever you want to call it. But you know what? It's part of the journey. It's part of putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And, you know, we're not giving up. We still have championships to win. We didn't lose anything that is going to prevent us from winning the NLC or making a deep tourney run. It's all about how we respond moving forward.
A lot of it came down to shooting. Because if you just shoot the ball better, you certainly win the first game because you only lost by two. And you shot, 9 of 30 from three-point range in that game. And that's kind of been the theme. This team was built on the ability to pressure the other team and make three-pointers. And right now, neither is happening. So where do you start to try to shift this around and try to get it going back in the right direction?
You know, if you go back to that Brownsburg game, we were getting some layups. We were getting some close-range shots. They were still off some pressure, that type of thing. But if you make the shift from Brownsburg to Jeffersonville, you saw us start to run in more sets, trying to get the ball inside, trying to do some things differently that we feel like we need to do moving forward to be successful. Just because, like you said, we haven't been shooting the ball well. When we shoot well, everything looks good. Everything looks good. The defense doesn't look as bad as it can be at times. The offense looks good. Our concern right now is we're just not as deep as we want to be at times, and therefore I think fatigue is becoming an issue with some of our kids. So you're starting to see us change how we play a little bit, and we are going to start controlling who is taking those shots at times just to make sure we're getting the shot we want. Because, you know, we talk in practice about momentum stoppers and momentum getters. What can build momentum for us? What can build momentum for another team? And right now we have a tendency to allow teams to maintain momentum by when they get on a run, coming down and throwing up a shot right away instead of working the basketball for the best possible shot. You know, that just feeds into another team's momentum, and it extends their runs longer than they need to be. We need to get more intelligent about how we can stop other teams' runs at a 6-2 run, an 8-4 run, by being smart on the offensive end.
One of the things that's been noticeable in this last few games, this stretch, is that other teams' field goal percentage has gone way up, way above 45%. All three of the last three opponents that you've played have shot over 45%. And we're all human beings. When we're struggling to score points, it affects everything. And that's true of you and me as dads, as workers. When things aren't going right on one end, it affects lots of other things. And that clearly is true of the girls at both ends of the basketball court.
You know, and what you're saying is true, and that's hard for me because as long as you've known me until the last year or two, defense is what I've prided myself in. You know, you go back 2 years ago, we set the school record for fewest points allowed per game. And this week, we spent a lot of time trying to get better defensively in the half court. And I hope it pays off, not just tonight, but for the rest of the season and gets us ready for sectional. We're going to get better at the defensive end. And, you know, part of that could be how much we are asking them to press full court. Part of that could be the fatigue. Part of it is they're not shooting well. A lot of different factors there. But in my mind, defense is the one thing that should be constant and consistent, the effort on that half court. And that's what we're going to do a better job of here in this stretch run of making sure we play defense in the half court and not just allowing teams to score so we can go try to score and match that. We've got to be better in the half court, and you can bet this past week we worked on that.
You have one game this week, and it's the big game. It is arguably the biggest game of the season, and I know because I accidentally walked into your locker room as you were talking to the girls yesterday about this game and the Northridge game tonight in the Tiger Den, and you said, this is a big game, which is rare for you to say because we hear a lot, This is part of the process. This, you know, it's just another step for us getting better. This now is one of those culmination games, because this is one that you want, and you want really badly.
It is a big game. I would joke with you. The only time I've ever said it's a big game is when I say, because it's the next one. Can't say that with this game. I'm just speaking honestly right now. And you know, it's time for our kids to be able to embrace the process while still understanding the consequences of not executing what needs to be done in the process and how it impacts the outcome. You know, for example, this week I finally told him, I'm tired of hearing the words, my bad. And every time you turn it over, stop turning it over. It's pretty simple. Execute what we want you to execute. The way we play doesn't give you a license just to say, my bad, as you turn the ball over for the 15th time the same way. We have to get better at executing and doing what we want to do. It's a big game in that sense, that not only is it for basically for the conference, you know, you and I know, barring an unexpected event, whoever walks out of this game with a win is probably going to win conference. That's not an insult to anybody left on either schedule. That's just the reality of the situation. It is a big game, but what I need our kids to understand is it's time to start executing and doing your job the way it needs to be done. That's real life. I can only tell my boss so many times at work, my bad, before I'm going to be looking for a new job. That's the reality of the situation, and it's time for our kids to understand that. And to me, there's a little bit of that. This word probably is strong, but there's entitlement when you think you can continually say my bad and not have a consequence on the backside of that. We're going to get better, and you know what? I'm going to take the blame for where we're at this point in time. And, you know, I'm determined that when I take the blame for something, I'm going to get it right. And that's what you're seeing this week. You're seeing not an angry, not a mad coach, a determined coach who's going to get this right. We've got a month to go, and by golly, we will get it right.
They haven't lost since they lost to Homestead back at the beginning of November. So it's been quite a run for them. They've won, I think, 17 in a row now. They're 18-1 on the season. And you look at their roster and you go, they don't have a great big girl. They don't have like a dynamic outside shooter. They don't have a big front line. And yet they're incredibly fundamentally sound. And they know what they're well coached and well scouted. They know exactly what you're going to do before you do it. That makes them really dangerous.
You know, it's a program that they run their system well. It's proof that if you buy into the system, regardless of the talent, you can achieve a lot of success. And, you know, that's a tribute to Coach Springer and the system that he runs. It's also a challenge for our kids that what our system works. We've proven it. You know, it's like I told him, we are the 2-time defending champs. They need to come take it from us, and we need to have that mindset. But our system also works. We need them to buy into that system 100% completely. And, you know, we're going to find out how much we're buying into to that togetherness and system. To me, that when I talk about a system, you can run whatever you want. You can run flex and play a 2-3. You can run Northridge's chin and play a buzz. You can run our transition offense and full court press it. There's a lot of different ways to play this game. It's a matter of the players buying in collectively together and working together to get the best possible results. And, you know, that's what Northridge does a great job of. You look at their roster, and I'm like you. I'm going, they don't have one of those kids that you're going to go, man, we just have to stop that kid. I think they've got some competitors. I think they got people that play well together. And you know, that's what makes them dangerous. At the same time, you know, 16, 17 in a row, it's been a while since they've been hit in the mouth. That's our goal, is to come out and punch them in the mouth and see how they respond.
It's a big night. You have put a lot of work into the planning of this ceremony to welcome back the 2014. Can you talk about all the things that went into it and what is on the agenda for today for them and how they are going to mingle and interact with your players?
You know, in talking to you at the beginning of the year, we started talking about the 20-year reunion of this team that made it to the state finals and was a state runner-up. And one of the things that you mentioned to me was the fact that there was no real ceremony, no real opportunity to recognize their accomplishments. You know, I believe you told me they were called down to the gym after school one day, given their state runner-up rings. And to me, that's not the proper recognition. But from someone who coaches on the girls' side, I would tell you that wouldn't happen on the boys' side. I'm just speaking honestly. And to me, it's about giving these girls, young ladies, young women, the opportunity to have their moment that they probably didn't have 20 years ago that they deserved. We're just trying to make them feel special. 20 years, anybody who's been in Indiana understands, even with class basketball, to get to the point that you are one of the two teams playing in the final game of the year, that's something special. So we're going to bring them back. There's been a lot going into this, not just finding these young ladies, which you helped me do, because I would have had no way to find any of these people. But also, you know, just getting the number that we're going to have here, giving them an opportunity to see the new facility that we have, not just the field house and the locker room, but the school updates, giving them a chance to sit down and enjoy each other's company, have a meal together, and reflect on what they accomplished. We have videos from most of the girls that we're going to play reflecting back. We have something special we would like to present to them tonight that our girls are going to present to them. Hopefully our girls can learn something from this group. But more importantly, I just want them to feel special and know that what they accomplished 20 years ago was something special that this community remembers. As a leader of the Tiger basketball program, I never want to lose my respect for the tradition and the jerseys and the people who paved the way to do what we do today. And, you know, it's been a lot of work, but it's definitely going to be worth it. I'm looking forward to seeing and meeting a lot of these girls tonight.
You're going to like them. They're really good kids. And they are the kind of people who you want to work with as kids playing basketball, as adults, selfless, willing to do whatever it takes. Mallory Hepler blows out her knee. I mean, that first weekend was catastrophic. They go into Tippecanoe Valley's, the number one team, get beat by Rebecca Parker, who had just an unbelievable game. Come back the next night, they win the game, but Mallory Hepler blows out her knee, and you're just like, this is not working out very well. And then they won after that. They won that night and then won 15 in a row, got beat by a team from Chicago, and didn't lose again until they got all the way to Indianapolis. 26 wins, which is a school record, 21 in the regular season, also a school record. This basketball, the Pat Roy Award winner, all part of that. And so this is going to be a really neat ceremony tonight. And thanks for all your work to put that together.
You're welcome. You know, you say I'm going to like them. I promise you I would like them a lot more getting to know them than I did trying to coach against them when I was at Goshen in 2004.
True. That's true.
I didn't like those kids when I was trying to beat them. No. So I'll definitely like them a lot more tonight.
That's true. 6:15 JV tonight. The ceremony will take place right after the JV game is over. And so we encourage you to get there. If you only come for the varsity games, we encourage you to get there early. We will see you tonight. Well, actually, we'll see you this afternoon.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. We want to leave you as we go to break with that final moment from that semi-state championship game in the Tiger Den, Warsaw leading by 2.
Bryan to throw it in. Gets it into Hutton underneath the basket. 9 seconds. Now 8. Hutton at the timeline, 6 seconds, 5, across the line, 4, stepping into the arc, down the lane, stripped away, got it back, shoots it up, no good, rebound to Eater, 2, 1, it's over! Warsaw's won the semi-state! They've done it again!
Oh my!
They've done it again!
Oh
53-51!
They did it, partner.
And there is pandemonium at the Tiger Den! Indianapolis, here we come!
Crossroads Bank checking accounts have the bells and whistles you've come to expect. Free debit card with free access to MoneyPass Network, free mobile banking with mobile deposit, free e-statements, free bill pay, and more. Check it out at crossroadsbanking.com. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
where your bank and your life meet. Crossroads Bank.
Traveling, double dribble, personal foul, all bad things in basketball. Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin, and hair. All bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Kinetico, which provides clean, clear water 24/7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
Hi, this is Mike from Reinhold's Town Square Furniture. When you're looking for furniture and mattresses, there are a lot of places you could go. The same is true for us. We get to choose the manufacturers we want for our business. How do we decide? The same way you do. We look for quality, value, and selection. We also look at their history to be sure they know what they're doing. So before anything from Reinhold's goes into your home, we've already done the work for you. So stop in and see us at Reinhold's Town Square Furniture, your friends in the furniture business.
Gold leans over the right-hand dribble. Leans right. Gets it to Bricker near the center circle. 8 seconds. Seven. Bounces to the corner. Sullivan back to Bricker. A head fake and a drive and a floater. It's no good. Rebound. Finlayson back up. Good! It's Carson Gould! It's Carson Gould! It's over! It's over! Carson Gould scores at the buzzer on the putback and the Tigers win!
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company in Warsaw, on News Now Warsaw, continues as Roger is joined by boys basketball coach Matt Moore.
Okay, before the coach jumps in, I want to explain that, because yes, I can tell the difference between 10 and 24. I can tell the difference between Robbie and Carson. However, it should be noted that the student section from Northridge, when Bricker's shot lipped off, they thought the game was over. And they started to run on the court and then stopped right in front of me. And I could not see. All I could see was arms. And by skin tone, I thought it was Finlayson, because I thought there's no way Carson could have got that rebound in the middle of all those people. But it was him, and he put it up and in. And when Finlayson lifted him up in the air, that's when I knew that it was Carson that had scored. So, good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning, Roger.
I want to ask you this first. You're down there cheering on your daughter at volleyball in Indianapolis. Are you a good fan?
I think I'm a great fan. I think I've had 22 years of learning what not to do as a fan, and learning what to appreciate on the other side of that as well. I think, you know, sometimes you get caught up in the emotion of everything. And I think last night's an example. You see my reaction on the sideline. First of all, I'm making sure they count the basket, right? I'm looking to see if the officials wave that off or count it. And then secondly, I'm looking down to make sure none of my guys are spraining an ankle or hurting a knee or anything in the celebration. I look through the lens of I appreciate excellence, and I enjoy things. It's how I go about when I go to a concert. I'm not a singer and a dancer. I just want to sit there and just take it in and just appreciate it.
What a game last night, and what an effort by your kids at both ends of the court. The only thing you can really be upset about is the dribble penetration, but Cam Radiker is really good at putting his head down and getting to the basket.
Yeah, but we knew that you got to get something up, right? Anytime you play a worthy opponent, you live or die by a couple different things. And so we made the decision early in the week that we weren't going to allow three-point shots from their guys. And so when you do that, you know, obviously at that point you're giving up and you're forcing them to force your hand at what's next. And so it then becomes the dribble penetration. The key for us off the ball was stay attached. I thought Luke Yeager, especially late in the game, Drew Sullivan, those two guys in particular did a great job of plugging drives and then staying attached to the roll. Where in other games, we probably would have what we call peel switch, or we would have stunted more. And so that's kind of that's how their drives get there. And they back cut us a few times. But that in those types of games, you know, Scott and I, Scott was at Lafayette Jeff when I was at Kokomo, and we had a number of games that went down to the wire. And I just appreciate that about him and his teams, is they're going to make adjustments. And I thought our guys stood the test. And you know, even in that stretch, I think we got four stops in a row when we were stuck on 49 down two. And honestly, if they score on any of those, the game's probably over. Because at that point, if we don't score, now we're fouling, and then they stretch it out. So, I think, you know, twos don't beat you. Typically, it's threes. And so we wanted to make sure we guarded the arc and took away threes in this game.
One of the things that I've really come to enjoy about this team after nine games of watching them, 7-2 record, is that they will put together pretty good runs, but they have really done a good job of preventing the other team from putting together runs. That Northridge crowd was ready to go absolutely bonkers last night. And with the exception of that play toward the end when Racker scored to put them ahead 53-52, they were really kept very quiet last night, and your guys were responsible for that.
Yeah, you know, I think this group, one of the challenges we have is, you know, trying to get them to communicate at the level that we would like as a staff. And I think you just look at their personality types, and I don't know if I've ever had a team with so many introverts. And that's not a bad thing. It just means that, you know, they're all looking around waiting for somebody to, you know, start the fire. And they're all holding some matches. And so Carson has been that mouthpiece for us a lot. But I think Luke Bricker's voice this week, he was really good. I challenged, you know, the Lukes, Jaeger and Bricker and Robbie, because I thought their matchups in particular were going to be key. And I didn't think that those three guarded the way that they needed to in the Harrison game as much. And so this week we kind of put a target on those three, and I thought their week of preparation was good. And I think our guys then just kind of fall into this pretty calm. They don't get real emotional. And I think that's something that, you know, though we want them to talk more, I think they're connected and they do care about, you know, the process of playing well and they want to please. But I do appreciate their competitive spirit.
One of the another thing that you have to really like about where this team is at after nine games is in the close games. And one of the stats that I keep is your record when you the game is decided by 10 points or less and by 5 points or less, and you're 5-2 in games decided by 10 points or less and 4-2 in 5 points or less, and on the road, coach, 4-0. What does that say about your bunch?
Well, I think it just there are times when I think playing on the road, there's a feeling of comfortability there. I think, you know, you can play at home and you get in these stands where, you know, you got people that know you, and I think there's just sometimes groups that play better on the road, and we've had this 4-game road stretch where we've kind of found ourselves, and I think that's not by mistake, because I think these guys understand what's in front of them, and our schedule doesn't get easier, and that's the thing that I've appreciated is I don't think that they've looked at it as an overwhelming task of, man, our January is brutal when it comes to who we have coming up. And if you start playing the what-if game, then it can be overwhelming, and so we just kind of have had them look at the game in front of them, and you control that, and you're still in the mix for the conference, and you know, Tuesday is a great opportunity, not from a conference standpoint, but from another road battle against another worthy opponent that we've got to go figure out if we're able to compete with.
And here's the thing that doesn't add up there, because I believe all of that, what you just said. But a team that's very quiet and introverted is not usually the group that goes on the road and wins a game like they won last night. Usually it's the guys who wave to the other team's crowd or hold their hand up to their ear, you know, or that have that bravado. This team doesn't have that, except they get the job done. Those two things don't go together.
They do. And you know, I think it has a lot to do with, I said this last night on the radio with you, that, you know, these guys have been through a lot together. I was shifting through some photos, trying to clean out my folder over break, and I mean, I remember coaching these guys in TBA my very first year. Like, they were my first group. And I've got pictures, and, you know, darn near all of them are in those pictures. And they've just been through a lot of things together. And I think when there's familiarity there, I think there's trust. I think there's an understanding of role definition. You know, I think that's something that oftentimes gets way overlooked, because we have a lot of guys that, you know, aren't getting a lot of clock but are playing major roles for us, whether they're getting in the game or not. They're adding value. And so these guys just have a unique tightness that when those moments come, they don't get overwhelmed and they lean on each other. You know, I thought last night, you know, Robbie really carried us in the second quarter. And that just goes to show the grit and toughness he has because, you know, starting the year, he wasn't shooting the ball well. The last four or five games, he's kind of been on a tear of how he's shooting. And I think that, you know, Luke's ability to have a running mate like that that can make shots, and then Brant gets going, and Carson's setting the table, and Luke Yeager's doing what he does. Like, we just have guys that fit roles really well. And I think, you know, Drew Sullivan's a great complement to that because he played as good as I think anybody last night, and it may get lost in the outcome.
I want to bring up Finlayson today because you and I haven't talked now for almost a month. Here's a guy who he didn't shoot great at the beginning of the season, but shooters have to shoot, and he didn't get that many opportunities in those early games in the season. Never got upset, never got impatient, waited for the game to come hit to him, and now it has, and he has been ready for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the season, I think. You know, you have to prepare things in stages. I don't think that, you know, you're going to be where you're going to be in December, game 2, 3, 4, where you're going to be by game 14. And I think that progression of guys' bodies, of playing, of the, you know, just the confidence of being in the gym and the familiarity with practice. And, you know, I think we've settled into kind of who we want to be. And, you know, we are trying to play the pace a little bit faster. We've added some pressure. We didn't last night necessarily, but in other games we've half-court trapped some, and that's been a good thing for us. And so I think in Robbie's case, like, he has kind of found his niche. And, you know, one of the things I don't want to do in role definition is put a guy in a box and say, you know, this is what you have to be if you have any opportunity. We want them to be able to do that, but do beyond that. And so by not necessarily putting them in a box, it's a hard thing because, you know, a generation wants you to tell me what to do and I'll go do it. Well, we want them to have some creativity and some investment in it as well, and Robbie definitely has that. And that's been a positive thing to see him kind of grow in that this year.
Two other guys that you gave responsibilities to that were more than what they had last year, Drew Sullivan, and Drew continues to be a really good backup. When you look at Luke Yeager and you put him next to Drew Sullivan, they don't even look like they should be on the same team. Drew still is a smaller guy, but he's physically built. He has really done a good job. And Meidenberger with a huge free throw. Again, you missed the first one. That basket gets a lot smaller. Makes that second free throw. You brought it up in the postgame show. You've given him more, and he's taken that.
Yeah, I mean, we have seven starters. I mean, you know, the only reason I don't start all seven is because we're only allowed to start five. And so Drew is worthy, and Meiden's worthy of being in there at the starting lineup. You know, but I think what it does for us right now is it allows us the versatility to defend in different ways. And I think, you know, Drew is so unique in his athletic ability, his strength, his toughness. He's a really good passer. I think that's one of his skills that is undervalued when you watch him. But, you know, I think he gives us the versatility of being able to guard the perimeter, being able to guard the ball screen. He can switch, and then he can rebound, you know. And then Meiden's ability to be shifty. You know, we would still like to unlock him some more just in terms of, I think he looks at himself, you know, he's the only sophomore out there. He defers a lot, but his natural instinct is he's a dog. And so he's got to be able to go be that and run his race. And I think when he finds his steps, you know, you saw that in the Harrison game where he just kind of found his rhythm. Then it really makes us a tough matchup because we do have guys across the board that are going to guard, and they're going to put in the effort to do that, and that gives us a chance. I mean, all these games, you know, we're shooting a phenomenal percentage through nine games, but it's our ability to get stops at key moments that has allowed us to kind of be where we're at now.
Part of that, your shooting percentage, is the fact that you are getting shots at the basket and you're making those shots. We know this team was going to be a good three-point shooting team, and you are shooting over 40% from out there. But you're getting a lot of shots from within 5 feet, and you're converting on those at a really high rate too.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the thing that the growth of Luke Yeager and even others, like, I've always been somebody that has tried to post up my guards because I think it's a value of, you know, being able to get them to the free throw line. But Luke's done a really good job, and we've moved him around. Like, we used to feed him the ball on the blocks, and we've kind of moved him to the center of the floor. And that gives him, you know, more options. It's really difficult to double from the center of the floor. I think you can draw more fouls by throwing it. You know, Scholl got one last night in that setting where we throw it from the high post and we're centered and he tries to reach around because that's just the natural instinct. And so all those things go to putting fouls on the board, getting to the free throw line. But, you know, I think it gives guys like Luke and other guys just confidence to know that, like, we're going to come to you. We need you to be aggressive, and until they double-team you, you've got to find ways to produce down there. And all of our guys have done that, and I think that's something that we've kind of tried to explain of what shots we're trying to get and what those percentages mean, and even to the point of where, you know, every time we shoot it from the corner, we're getting 1.5 points. Every time we shoot it, that's how high we're shooting it at a percentage. Every time we throw it in the paint and we shoot it, we're getting a 1.3 points per shot. Like, those are good things. And then by doing that, I kind of think it just kind of melts away the bad shots or the shots that are lower percentage for us, which are anything outside the lane for us right now, we're not shooting it real well. So we want to avoid those twos. And so I just think the guys understanding that has really paid off, and they're understanding that. They're looking for each other, and they're willing passers.
You are in a stretch, as you mentioned before. You have 3 games in 8 days. You play Tuesday at Penn, weather permitting, and then Goshen comes in for a home conference game next Friday. This is a Penn team under new management. We know Barrett Kuhlman. He is one of our favorite opposing coaches. We love working with him. Can't wait to talk to him on Tuesday, weather permitting. This is a Penn team rebuilding. Marcus is not there. He's at Notre Dame and playing really well there, and you can see why he was Mr. Basketball. This is a rebuilding Penn team. Give us the 15-second scouting report on the Kingsmen.
Yeah, you know, I think anytime you're around greatness, you get rubbed off on, right? Like, you know, they had arguably the best coach for the longest time, and obviously the best player in recent time. And so those guys that did play, Bonner and Miller and some of those guys, like, they're not dummies. They understood what it took to be there. I don't think they may understand the magnitude of what Marcus did and what Coach Rhodes did, but, like, that stuff rubbed off on them. And I think, you know, they're playing well because, you know, Varick is from that Coach Rhodes tree like myself. And so there are things that are pretty seamless, I think, that they're able to do. He has his own twist on things, and then their JV was successful. So I think they have a lot of confidence. And obviously when you win games in the fashion that they have this early, that's going to bolster your confidence as well. But, you know, for us, I think it's going to be a game that is built for us to play in. I think we shoot it. I think we guard it. I think our matchups are good. I think we do have more experience per se, but I'm not really surprised at the success they've had thus far, because I do think that those guys that have been in the program around the greatness they've been around have benefited from that.
Okay, so I know that there's a lot that you cannot say about the situation with Trey Davis, but fans are asking, wanting to know more. What can you tell us about Trey Davis and his status with the basketball team, what his future is?
Trey's part of our team, you know, until that's decided otherwise. You know, he was at practice the other day. It's been good to see him. He had some family things that he had to take care of over break, but, you know, we fully expect that, you know, under the right circumstances, he can be part of what's going on as we move forward, and we're excited to see him the other day at practice.
Okay, Tiger Basketball Academy. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk about that, because I know that's coming up this week.
Yeah, you know, TBA has been a really successful thing for us. We're starting our fourth year of our travel teams. We have third grade through eighth grade tryouts coming up this month, and the goal for that is just to expose our kids to playing outside of the Kosciuszko County area, for better or for worse. We go to Fort Wayne, we go to Indianapolis. We try to get about, you know, two teams at each grade level, third grade through eighth grade, roughly 8 to 9 kids per team. It is a tryout, so we are making cuts, and we're trying to establish, you know, this is what you need to do to play Tiger basketball at this level. And we try to put kids in situations that are competitive for their skill sets, try to practice twice a week. I think it's a great foundation to learn what it means to be in a routine to play against good competition. And I think that's the thing, that as we get outside of our county lines and go play some of these teams, many of our families and our players are realizing, like, man, I got to get better if I want to continue this. And I think ultimately, part of that exposure has been a positive thing for our program. And I think that's something that we want to continue to grow. We have tryouts Monday night and Thursday night this week for third grade through sixth grade, and then the end of the month for our seventh and eighth graders.
Okay, we'll look forward to it. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Awesome. Thanks, Roger.
See ya. Matt Moore, the head coach of the Warsaw Tigers, after their win 54-53 last night at Northridge. Penn's game starts at 6:15 on Tuesday. We're on the air at 6:10 on News Now Warsaw. When we come back, the Tigers Sports Diary next on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
At Rock Hill Pinnock, our attorneys are experienced in all areas of family law. Yes, we have a lot of experience in court dealing with highly contested divorce-related disputes, but we have even more experience in negotiating solutions to get you through those tough patches in life. From prenuptial agreements to adoptions, our family law attorneys have the knowledge and the common sense you need. For a consultation concerning your family law needs, call 267-6116. Rock Hill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
Bad wreck, oh what you gonna do? Oh what you gonna do, call them boys in blue. Car stalls won't start, oh what you gonna do? Oh what you gonna do, call them boys in blue. Wreck in any state and need the best rates. Take the next step, call Wrecker Dinep. Go with the guys who got the best tools. If you get in a wreck, they'll come and get you. Bad wreck, oh what you gonna do? Call Wrecker Dinep to come get you.
Remember, when you get in a wreck,
call Wrecker Dinep.
The following message is brought to you by Bowers Jewelry, Oliver Bergen & Company, and the Kosciuszko County Chamber of Commerce. Communities all around Kosciuszko County are all bustling with activity and excitement this time of year. As we go about our lives living here in Kosciuszko County, we can be grateful for what we have. We all like to think we have it a little bit better here than some other places, and perhaps we do. Certain things seem to matter more to us, like our hometown roots and the feel of our community, right down to the locally owned shops and businesses that are always there for us, eager to please us with their goods and their services. And a smile, probably from someone you already know. That's a great part of our community, the moms and pops that own the shops in our town. They help support us and our lives here, because shopping online or from some out-of-town big box store does not support our community and the people in it. So when you need to go shopping, shop our local Stores with a Door in Warsaw.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, continues with a look at the scores and schedules for all the teams at Warsaw Community High School. It's Tiger Sports Diary on News Now Warsaw.
Let's start with wrestling. Specifically, let's start with the girls, who last week competed on Saturday at the Mishawaka Regional. Again, the IHSA does not control girls wrestling yet, but I think if not next year, the year after, it definitely will be a full-blown IHSA sport. So this is governed by a governing body, the Indiana High School Girls Wrestling Association, much like GAA was with the girls basketball before it became a sport in 75, 76. It's that version of that. And so they run the regional. That was at Mishawaka last week. The girls finished second overall, and all six of their wrestlers advanced on to the semi-state, which was yesterday at Penn. Champions in the regional were Kina Yoder and Mariana Castro. Yoder finished with three pins on the way to the championship at 130. Castro picked up two pins for the championship at 140. Natalie Davis came in second for the Tigers at 140, and third-place finishers were Emma DeWald, Emily Dawson, and Kyle Long at 125, 145, and 170, respectively. Then yesterday, it couldn't have got off to much of a better start, as Warsaw won five of their six first-round matches. And then they got to what they call the money round. You win in the semifinals, or you win in the quarterfinals, and you're automatically moving on to the next round. And that didn't happen for the Lady Tigers. Kina Yoder, Natalie Davis, Mariana Castro, Kyle Long, all winners by pin in their first matches. Emily Dawson picked up a 5-3 decision to advance. They needed one more win to go on, and they were unable to get that, and they've had their season come to a close. But again, this is all freshmen and sophomores. They have no senior wrestlers, so the expectations next year are going to be very, very high. And we'll see if the IHSA turns girls wrestling loose as an official sport for next fall and winter, whether they have to wait one more year. It's about number of schools that are participating, number of athletes participating. There's a formula by which the IHSA does this. And the way the sport is just exploding, I think that that very well could happen next year. We'll wait and see. We'll talk with Chris Huber at the end of the winter about the wrestling seasons, and we'll certainly bring that subject up with him. The boys wrestling team competed at the Al Smith Invitational. On day one, the Tigers sent two wrestlers onto the medal rounds. of a 32-team gauntlet. You want to talk about the best wrestlers from all over the Midwest. They were involved in the Al Smith Tournament, one of the most prestigious tournaments in wrestling in the Midwest. The junior duo of Danny Moon and Cameron Kaufman both went 3-1. Moon picked up a pin in his first match and won a close match by decision in round two. Lost in the quarterfinals, finished the day strong with another pin to earn a top eight spot in the 150-pound bracket. Kaufman, at 215, was able to pick up a pin in both of his first two rounds. Lost in the quarterfinals, he too picked up a pin in the consolation and got a spot in the top eight. Senior 113-pounder Bryce DeKnese, just a win away on day two, picked up a win by Tech Fall in round one. Two more decisions in the consolation bracket to finish at 3-2. Aaron Ross was the only other Tiger able to win multiple times on the day, and after dropping into the consolation bracket early, picked up two wins by pin and finished 2-2 for day one. Then on day two, Cameron Kaufman finished third at 215, went 3-0 on day two, and a 6-1 record for the tournament, which is outstanding. Danny Moon was seventh in the 150-pound bracket after dropping his first match of the morning in the consolation round. Then he bounced back with a dominant win for placement. He went 1-1 on the day and 4-2 in the tournament. So congratulations to the wrestlers on a very, very good day, a very good couple of days up in Mishawaka. The swim team on the 27th of December took on LaPorte at LaPorte at their natatorium. In the girls' 200 medley relay, the team of Brooke Shimasaski, Anna Stevens, Marissa Howitt, and Veronica Smith finished first with a time of 207.88. The boys' 200 medley relay team of Josh Warner, Kaylin Swinehart, Griffin Brown, and Diego Manwaring finished second. And the girls' 200 free, Elizabeth Jo Celis was first with a time of 213.35, and Gibson Claxton finished in third. In the boys' 200, Alex Bowers finished in third. In the girls' 200 IM, Warsaw took first and third with Anna Stevens winning at a time of 227.39 and Lucy Ray coming in third place. In the boys' race, Kaylin Swinehart was third. In the girls' 50 free, Marissa Howitt won the race with a time of 26.94 and Veronica Smith came in third. In the boys' 50 free, Diego Manwaring was second. In the girls' diving competition, Sophia Stewart won with a total score of 188.80. For Warsaw's boys diving team, Skylar Kretsch was the champion with a score of 215.30. In the girls' 100-meter butterfly, Brooke Shimasaki was the winner in that race with a time of 107.99, and Claire Corson came in third. In the boys' 100 butterfly, Diego Manwaring was second, and Aiden Teo finished in third. In the girls' 100 freestyle, Marissa Howitt won the race with a time of 58.97. In the boys' 100 freestyle, Griffin Brown was Warsaw's best finisher. He came in third. In the girls' 500 free, Elizabeth Jo Celis was second, and Elizabeth Osborne came in third. In the boys' 500 free, Josh Warner was second, and Alex Bowers came in third. In the girls' 200 freestyle relay, the team of Brooke Shimasaki, Anna Stevens, Ariel Strange, and Marissa Howitt won the race with a time of 153.20, while the boys' team of Ethan Farrar, Jonah Potter, James Brady, and Alex Bowers finished second. In the girls' 100 backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki won that with a time of 109.41, and Elizabeth Vanderbeek came in second. In the boys' 100 backstroke, Josh Warner was third. In the girls' 100 breaststroke, Anna Stevens was first with a time of 117.62. She won that race over the competitor from LaPorte by 16 hundredths of a second. Haley Strange was third for Warsaw. Kaylin Swinehart finished third in the boys' 100 breaststroke. And in the 400 free relay, Warsaw's girls' team of Veronica Smith, Ariel Strange, Elizabeth Vanderbeek, and Elizabeth Jo Celis came in first with a time of 423.85. And for the boys' race, Griffin Brown, Diego Manwaring, Kaylin Swinehart, and Elijah Zog came in second. Final meet results for the girls: Warsaw 120, LaPorte 60, and LaPorte won the boys' competition 110-75 over the Tigers. The freshman girls' basketball team on Thursday beat Northridge 31-14. Olivia Rooney led the Lady Tigers with 13 points. Grady Nelson had 15 that same night, but the Northridge boys beat Warsaw 47-24. That brings us to the current. Today, the boys' wrestling team got up and went early. They are competing at East Noble in the Varsity Invitational there. The JV wrestling team is on the road at the Riley Invitational at South Bend Riley High School, and that starts here in about 10 minutes. The girls' swimming and diving teams, the boys' and girls' swimming and diving teams are at Concord this morning. That competition started about 20 minutes ago, taking on the Minutemen. And then, of course, the big girls' game tonight, Warsaw Northridge in the Tiger Den for first place in the conference. And for all intents and purposes, it is for the Northern Lakes Conference Championship. JV at 6:15. Then the 2004 reunion ceremony will be right after that. Then the varsity warm-up and then the varsity game between Warsaw and Northridge. On Monday, the freshman girls host Elkhart in the Career Center Gym at 6:30. Tuesday, the boys' JV and varsity basketball teams are on the road at Penn. The JV game begins at 6:15, and we'll have coverage starting at 6:10 on News Now Warsaw. And the gymnastics team will open up their 2004 season. They will host East Noble, and that will start at 6:30. On Wednesday, the girls' basketball team is home, taking on Mishawaka. The JV game will start at 6. Our coverage of the varsity game begins at 7:10 on News Now Warsaw. And then Thursday, the freshman basketball teams will be at Goshen, the boys at 6:15, and the girls will follow that. And the, can you imagine this, the NLC swimming and diving prelims are on Thursday. That we have flipped the calendar over to 2024, and we are on the fast track to ending the winter sports season already. Here's the swimming conference championships getting started on Thursday. They will continue, and that will be on Saturday, also on the road for the Tigers. Then on Friday, the boys basketball team, JV and varsity, will host Goshen. JV at 6:15, varsity to follow. Our coverage will begin at 6:10 on News Now Warsaw. And not only is the girls swimming NLC this coming week, Thursday and Saturday, the wrestling NLC is at Mishawaka, and that will start at 9 next Saturday. Okay, a couple of coaching changes. We knew that what was going on at Wallowsee, that happened back at the beginning of December, but we have not had a show since then. John Riedebeau will not be back to coach the football team at Wallowsee for 2024. In 5 years, he went 9-44. And so the search is on there for a new coach. Goshen, Tom Wagerman resigned from there. Joseph Heklinski is their new football coach. He was the head. He was the quarterback at St. Joe, went on to Marion University and won a national championship with them. He's been an assistant coach at the college level at places like Manchester and Marion and Butler, and most recently at Ball State. So there are some new coaches on the way, still waiting to hear what's going on at Wallowsee. They have yet to announce hiring a new coach, and I'm sure that Brett Doty will do that when that time comes. And Goshen has their new head coach. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Tiger Talk. It's driven by R&B Car Company, and it's on News Now Warsaw.
Here we go. You know why to go to R&B Car Company, right? 90 days till your first payment, $3,500 minimum for your trade. And with locations in South Bend, Warsaw, and now Fort Wayne, you need to find out why we are where you ought to be. Because financing available with any kind of credit, we've got banks that cater to everyone, no matter the need, from compacts to big honking diesels, fast and friendly service, and the best deal bottom line. So shop now and get pre-approved at rbcarcompany.com.
Hello, service department. Our pool filter stopped working.
Okay, we'll send a replacement.
Nope, just dig a new pool.
Sometimes it's obvious when you should replace just a part. Like if your windows have condensation between the panes, you may not need to replace the whole window. The specialists at Glass Doctor can install new insulated glass in your existing frames for less than you might think. Save money and restore your window's appearance. Visit glassdoctor.com.
Call the Glass Doctor. We'll fix your paint.
Oh, yeah!
And now, for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, here's Roger.
I really hope. I know it's a little snowy out there today. I hope that doesn't chase you away from coming to the Tiger Den tonight. Not only because the 2004 team is going to be there and we want them to be recognized for the 20th anniversary of their just an amazing season. Fun girls to be around. Love those girls. Still love them. Can't wait to see them this afternoon. They're going to get together for a time of getting together and being together. A lot of them haven't seen each other for the last 20 years, so they're going to get a chance to hang out together a little bit. And then we're going to take them through the facilities, the new locker room and team room for girls basketball, take them into the Tiger Den. Again, some of them haven't been around, haven't seen the Tiger Den since they graduated. And so they'll get to do that. Look around the new school, see the new front entrance, take them down to the T-Rack so that they can see that really cool stuff that they have not been a part of or around here since they graduated. So we're going to do a lot of that today. I'm going to get them something to eat. They're going to get some great pulled pork barbecue and then give them a prime seat to watch the big girls basketball game of the year, Warsaw and Northridge tonight in the Tiger Den. Not only is it important that we want you to come back and we want you to cheer for the 2004 team, but this collective 2024 team needs you, right? And I don't do this very often, so I hope it carries a little extra weight with you. This Lady Tiger basketball team needs your help tonight, right? Things have been going great. They have really been struggling. They haven't shot the ball well. They need you to come in full throat and cheer for them tonight and be a factor. It's going to be a huge crowd. Northridge is going to bring a lot of people, and they should, because their team is really good. Our team's really good, too. But things haven't been going well in the wins and losses, and they need us to be there as one and cheer for them and be a factor for them tonight. So would you come do that tonight? Would you come and cheer for the Lady Tigers as they take on Northridge tonight, the big conference game of the year, and what could be a pivotal game in this team's 2023-2024 season? Thanks to Coach Krebs for being in here this morning. Thanks to Coach Moore for breaking away from his family time to join us from Indianapolis. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to R&B. The Donut Shop, the Warsaw Donut Shop, is closed for the holidays. They don't reopen until the 11th, so keep that in mind. Don't run down there for donuts and be disappointed. Let me give you that public service. They'll reopen next week on the 11th. So there you go. And thank you for spending your Saturday with us. It's been a great Saturday. We're looking forward to tonight's activities in the Tiger Den. Stay tuned. Gary Sullivan is coming up next.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com and warsaw-tigers.com. Follow Roger Grossman on Twitter at RogerGrossman1. Tiger Talk is a presentation of News Now Warsaw, a member of Kensington Digital Media of Indiana.